You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, get the freshest Cleveland Browns gear by visiting the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Also, don't miss the new Dog Pound t-shirts with a limited run only at the team shop at First Energy Stadium. Before we get into Friday forecast with the kid, I know he stepped in the house and says he's got a good story to share with us. The kid, what's up, man? Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, across
thank you very much.
Across the street, as some of you do not know, but I'll tell you now, there's always a bunch of autograph seekers.
Yes.
So as I got out of my car, there was one gentleman wearing an Ohio State sweatshirt, and I said, "Don't you want my autograph?" And he looked at me like, "Who the heck is this clown?" And I said, "You don't know who I am?" And he goes, "No." I said, "I'm Matt Wilhelm, famous Buckeye, won you a national championship." He goes, "Let me have your autograph." So I signed the autograph at Matt Wilhelm, and then I write, "Go Blue."
he immediately reached into his pocket, pulled out a lighter, and lit that on fire.
Lit it on fire. I did promise him that the real Matt Wilhelm will stop by on the way
out. You told him afterwards?
I would. For sure. I always do.
That is excellent. Excellent, the kid. Good start right there. All right, time for the Friday forecast. Let's bring in our producer, Mr. Emmett Golden, with question number one.
All right, guys, first up on the Friday forecast, Brian Hoyer has to do what for the Browns to win on Sunday?
Well, what he needs to do is convert third downs and convert in the red zone. We can't have these Flash Gordon wide open and the ball bounces 4 feet in front of him. He's got to make the big throws on third down and in the red zone.
I agree with that. I think in order for Brian to be successful, we've got to hit a couple deep balls. I think we've got to keep the defense honest. And now that we have a Lamborghini being unleashed this weekend, I think it's time to maybe hit a few deep balls.
Brian Hoyer must complete 60% of his balls for us to win on Sunday. I believe that his efficiency level needs to go up. 20 of 50, not good enough.
I think the third down thing's big. 3 of 15 on third down's not going to cut it. You're not going to win. I think, though, for Brian Hoyer, for the team to win, Brian Hoyer has to do what? He's got to throw from a clean pocket. He has shown that when he is under pressure, under duress, the results are not pretty. Brian Hoyer needs to be in a clean pocket, be able to utilize play action, and deliver the football accurately. If he does that, the Browns will win this game.
Next up, what is the matchup that the Browns must win on Sunday to beat the Falcons?
The matchup that I think is most important is our DBs versus Roddy White and Julio Jones. I do believe this will be a high-scoring affair, our defense being a bit banged up, their defense being atrocious, but our DBs do need to slow down Julio and Roddy.
I'm going to go with the same thing. I think it's really important that somebody like Joe Hayden is able to eliminate one of those guys one-on-one and leave the other side of the backfield, the other side of the defensive backfield, to play maybe a double coverage on Julio Jones or Roddy, whoever they decide to put Joe Hayden on. So I think the defensive matchup between Joe Hayden and whichever receiver he plays is huge.
I'm going to differentiate just a little bit. I'm going to go our defensive line versus their O-line. Their O-line is beat up. They give up a lot of sacks. They've given up, I believe, 20 sacks. And I talked about it as a key factor for us in this football game is our ability to stop the run, make them one-dimensional, and then also to affect Matt Ryan in that pocket and get him off his spot and get him uncomfortable.
I'm going to say the key matchup is actually our O-line versus their D-line. We need to be able to run the football in this game. We need to protect Brian Hoyer and give him a clean pocket, as I said. And if everybody wants the Crow to run for 175, I'm not afraid of that, by the way. But the Crow's going to need some help from the guys up front, give him some room to make those plays. And so to me, if our offensive line can come out and dominate the point of attack, the Cleveland Browns are going to win this game.
Is the NFC North still the best division in football?
No, I think the best division in football is the NFC West, particularly the way St. Louis has come on as of late. The top of that division is better than the top of our division, and the bottom of that division is now coming up to the rest of the level of the other teams.
I don't have much to say, but I agree. I think the NFC West is a really, really strong division in football right now. When you look at what the Arizona Cardinals are doing at 9-1, and Seattle Seahawks are always dangerous, and the 49ers are just haven't really hit on all cylinders, but if you look at it, I mean, Arizona right now has been playing really, really good football on both sides of the ball.
Yes, they have. I'm going to say no. because I think there's a lot of parity in our division. And I'm going to go out to the AFC West, and I'm going to talk about the Denver Broncos. The Chiefs, yes, they lost last night to the Oakland Raiders, their first win of the football team, so congrats to them. They're taking a step in the right direction. But also, too, my San Diego Chargers. I do think that division finishes with some tough matchups down the stretch, and there's not going to be that 12-team or even maybe 11-win team come out of the division, but very, very strong division in football.
It's interesting to me. I'm going to go with the NFC West now. In the AFC North, the feather in its cap, everybody's 6-4 better. The only division where everybody has a positive differential for the entire season is the AFC North as well. But I think that NFC West, if you were to line up 1v1, 2v2, 3v3, 4v4, I think the NFC West on a neutral field is probably favored in three out of those four, if not all four of those matchups. I'm going to say three out of the four because I think we'd be favored. Right now we're fourth and St. Louis is fourth. I'd take us over St. Louis on a neutral field. But I think the other three, Arizona's over Cincinnati, the Niners over Pittsburgh, and Seattle over Baltimore. So to me, that says the NFC West is the strongest division. And people are down on the Niners, but yet they're 6-4 in that division. 4-2 on the road, and they've got coming home. They've got only four more out of their last six, four at home, two on the road. So if they can get going at home, they could finish with a very strong record. So I think that's the best division in football.
And finally on the Friday forecast, best guess, guys, where do the Browns and Bills play next week?
All right, not answer this. So where do the Browns and Bills play next week? But not only answer that, where would you want them to play if, you know, you were deciding?
Well, if I was deciding, I want them to play in Cleveland, but they're going to play in Buffalo. There's no way that Buffalo is going to give up two games. You only have eight home dates a year. They're going to figure out a way to get that game played in Buffalo.
They're playing in Buffalo, and if I had one choice, and you're right about that, Buff, they have to play in Buffalo because that's a lot of money leaving Buffalo's pocket if they're losing those two home games. So, and if I had my choice where they'd play in my backyard. I would provide all refreshments, and we'd have car lights to light the field.
There you go. I do believe also that they will be playing in Buffalo, and if I had my choice of where they could play, and it actually makes a lot of sense, it'd be down in the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Here we go.
How about that?
Pull off the violin.
I was going to say, I think they'll play in Buffalo. I think you've got to find a way. I've already offered my solutions of melting the snow with a bunch of hot water, which was rejected here in the studio. But whatever. Get some guys some beer. And maybe if you get a whole bunch of people together with a lot of beer.
Some whiskey.
The seal,
keep
and
them warm.
You can just go ahead and melt all that snow. Write your name in it.
I own Matt 12 of them. So
you do.
We'll start with
Matt. We'll be the first volunteer.
Where's my hose?
The first volunteer snow melter in Buffalo. I'd like to see this game played in Toronto just because I think it's a pretty fun city to visit. It's a great city. So I'd say if you can't do it in Buffalo, let's go into a dome again,
yes,
which would be nice.
Yeah,
we'll stay warm. I could keep my suits going on the sideline without freezing, and I would enjoy Toronto on a Saturday night. So that would be my choice of locations for this game.
No problem.
We do have Atlanta this Saturday night, and we all know about Atlanta.
We do all know about Atlanta.
Hot Atlanta.
The biggest home court advantage in the NBA belongs to the Atlanta Hawks, and it has nothing to do with the people who file into the arena. It's true.
We all know who said that, too, and where he went to college.
That's right. Jalen Rose from the University of Michigan. The Blue. The Kid, always a pleasure here, but we can't let you go without you calling your shot and participating in our contest here today. Final score of the game, why, and how many yards does the Crow run for?
Is he eligible to win?
I think we're
all eligible.
Let's
keep him eligible to win.
Yeah, we'll keep him. The Kid's eligible.
He can win a prize.
Well, I'm going to make myself ineligible because I think the question should have been, I mean, I know I woke up with a hop in my step today because Flash Gordon is coming back. The question should be, how many yards does Flash Gordon have? And I'm going to say 173 and two touchdowns.
173 for Flash Gordon. All right, I'll make a note of that so we can revisit this next week. But what is your prediction for the Crow, since that is the contest
Crow,
that we are going with?
I'm going to say he's going to get his first 100-yard game, 101 yards, and one score.
And one T. Any fumbles?
No.
No, I don't think he puts
and
the score, ball.
Final
and the score?
Score
of the game.
Final score, Browns 31, Falcons 27.
31-27
like
Browns.
Close.
I like it. So would you say then, what's your lock of the week? Is the Browns-Falcons over your lock of the week?
I really haven't taken a look at what Las Vegas is offering just yet.
Okay.
I don't want to just pull something out. I know there's a lot of people out there with their pens in their hands, but I'll come in with a lock of the week next week.
All right. I mean, it just seems to me there are a lot of people who think the Browns are scoring north of 30 in this game. So far, we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 11 responses, and the Browns are north of 30 in 7 of those 11 responses and not below 23 in any of them. So
47.5
is the line. Okay. Yeah. So the majority of people think this is going over.
You got to realize, though, those people may be enjoying some of the same Kool-Aid that I enjoy.
By the way, I want to thank Anthony Guerra, who just tweeted the show, say, give me a ton of beer and I'll be the first one to volunteer to melt that snow. See, we've got a movement going.
That's all it takes.
I'll give you my address because I need some help with my driveway, too.
And you got beer.
I got lots of
it. And that palatial estate has a long driveway.
430 feet, to be exact.
But who's counting? Kid, always a pleasure. We will be back with more of your phone calls here. 216-578-0850 still to come. My man, D. Orlando Ledbetter from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution covers the Falcons. He'll be with us at 2:30 as Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, rolls on.